Hi, welcome to This Is Your Book Club podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
Still croaky.
You still are croaky.
Sorry about that. I apologize ahead of time.
No need to apologize. It's life.
It is. I'm still excited to be here.
Me too.
Feel fine.
Yeah.
But I sound like I'm dying, but I'm not.
You're not.
I feel good.
You look good.
Thank you.
You don't look sick.
I don't feel sick.
Okay. Just sitting in your
Yeah,
lungs.
Just decided to settle right in my throat.
Right in your throat.
It's annoying.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It makes it hard in our jobs to project over many children's talking voices.
And that's probably not helping my healing.
No. It's making it worse.
Yes.
And prolonging
yes.
your healing.
And I'm regularly saying, I can't talk over you. Please listen. Yeah. It doesn't always work.
No.
That's okay.
It is okay.
We make it through.
Eventually, you'll get better.
That's the hope.
School's almost out.
Right.
You get 2 months, and then you can rest over the summer and heal your voice.
It'll be fabulous. But it's good to be here today.
It sure is.
We need a fun fact, Jamie.
You got it. Our author for our, what month are we going into?
April.
Oh my gosh, my brain. Our
April March.
Book Club pick is Expiration Dates by Rebecca Searle.
Yes.
And so I have some information off of her Wikipedia page and off of her website, RebeccaSearle.com. So Rebecca Searle is an author and television writer. She lives in LA, but she does also have a residence in New York. So she goes back and forth.
Well, how lucky is she?
Right. She has a residence in both places.
That ain't cheap.
No, neither of those places. Those are like the two most expensive places.
Seriously.
In our country.
I bow down.
Good for her. She is the author of 6 novels and has co-developed the hit TV adaptation of her YA series, Famous in Love. Have you read Famous in Love or know that series?
I feel like I should.
I don't know that I know it.
It's
know
a book?
Yeah, it's a young adult series that has been adapted into a TV show.
Here it is. I have not ever seen this.
Okay. Neither have I watched the show. I know nothing about this, so.
Truly, madly, famously.
Oh.
Okay. Interesting.
So she's got that. She helps co-develop that. She received her MFA from the New School in New York City. She loves Nancy Meyers films, bathrobes, and giving unsolicited relationship advice. Don't we all?
Oh, that's welcome over here.
Right, right. She also grew up in Maui.
Ooh, that's cool.
So there you go. There's a little bit about
Woman
her.
Woman of the world.
Right?
That's why I read her books.
Right.
She's got a lot to share.
She's been in big places.
That's
Those are all
cool.
Pretty cool places to be. So, she's done a lot. She has some great pics on her website, like very professional photos.
Oh, yeah.
And she's really cute.
Awesome.
So thank you, Rebecca.
Good to meet you.
Nice to meet you. And I'm excited for this book.
Me too.
I will bring you more information about her in the next 2 weeks.
I can't wait.
Okay.
Let's take a break. All right. We're back. Can't wait.
Here we go.
Can't wait, Jamie.
I've been dying. No, not dying. I'm overreacting.
Never.
I'm a bit dramatic.
No.
But today we get to talk about a book that we've been, or books that have been on our TBR for a while to talk
right.
about.
Right. Well,
yours was on your list for
fault.
A while.
Yeah, you've been ready to talk about
it. I have been ready, so I'm excited today to finally be able to talk.
I don't know if you remember way back in January when we did our quiz.
Yes.
And we were given books by our quiz.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of us had read said books that was recommended.
Right.
But mine was like not even out yet. It came out at the end of February.
So you had to
wait. I had to wait for it. And so then I waited for it to come to me through my library. So then I waited a little longer. But it is now done.
But now you've read it.
I have read it.
You're ready to talk.
I can't wait to talk about it.
Perfect.
Okay. So the book that I got on the quiz was Snow Globe by Soyoung Park.
I remember, and this sounded interesting to me.
Yeah, a cool cover.
Yes.
It's got a fun premise. The idea is like we're in a world that's like all winter, totally frozen over. They live at like barely above 0 degrees, and a lot of times it drops well below zero. And they, in order to generate enough power for heat, they literally run in hamster wheels like people do.
They're generating heat, not just running to heat their body temperature to feel warm, but it is creating heat for other people. Like
electricity.
Electricity.
For heating. Right?
Wow.
So we're talking like major
I'm wrapping my brain around this.
Factories all across
this
the
land.
And that's what you do. Like you have to take a shift. Everyone is required to work. You go. If you can't, if you're physically unable, that you might have to work at the post office. Like there's other jobs other that things. You do, but you the first job that you have to do is a hamster wheel. And
then you
the way
can
they,
move up from there?
Yes. No.
No.
Not usually. Unless okay. you're like physically
unable.
Like, unable.
Are they getting paid for this job, or this is like community service as part of our community? Everyone has to do this.
I think you do get paid a very, okay. very small amount. Like, I would liken this book to like a Hunger Games okay. or something along those lines. And not, I wouldn't say it was on that level, but it's a similar like dystopian type feeling. Now,
got it.
There is one city that did not fall to the ice, and it's called Snow Globe. And it is, they put a globe around it, like they put an enclosure around it to protect it because it sits on like this thermal rock or whatever that, for whatever reason, allows it to be warm.
So they're trapping their warmth, their
yes.
heat in for instead of losing it. So
right.
they have it.
And so they have like good moderate temperature, beautiful there. Everybody wants to live there. But you can only live there if you are an actor or a director because they do all of the entertainment.
For everybody else?
Yes.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
So
okay.
in your hamster wheel, there is a television set, and while you run, you watch these shows.
So these shows that need electricity to run, that you're running for.
Well, and yeah, I see what you're saying. But the idea is really that, like, they're very lucky to live there, but they're providing this service. Like, you don't pay for TV. It's just, provided
it's a service for
you.
For everyone else. Okay. I'm in it.
And everyone at like a certain age can like apply to be an actor or a director
mm-hmm.
in the globe. And if you are chosen, then you get to like go live there
mm-hmm.
and you can make a lot of money. They take care of your family and like it's very prosperous. Anyway, it's super interesting. A concept. I really like the concept,
okay.
right? It's like, how there's and then you're following this one girl who lives in a small city. She works in the hamster wheel, and I don't want to spoil anything. So she is offered a way into the snow globe.
Okay.
And she takes it, and it's not a traditional way in. And when she gets there, she's a little uncomfortable with like what she's being asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, like, it's so much better than where she came from.
Such a good opportunity.
And she thinks it might be a stepping stone. She'd like to be a director. So, like, she's trying to work towards the other things. So she's like, maybe okay. it'll help me get there.
Yeah.
And while she's there, she's starting to learn some things about Snow Globe. And she doesn't really know what it all means, but it's starting to feel maybe not like what she thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
I was super hooked till about halfway into the book, maybe even a little over halfway. And I was like, this is great. Like, this is a really good book. It took this weird turn. And then I was like, I'm not really sure I feel about this. Like, this might be a little more than I can stomach.
Oh.
It's not bad. It's just like, this is weird.
Okay.
Like, why is this what is happening, right?
I mean, because that premise was all set up to be super interesting idea.
And it
How
is.
How creative.
Super interesting. Like, I could see it going like multiple ways, like this whole scene, right?
Right.
Lots of things. I just didn't love where they decided to go.
Yeah. Interesting.
So others might disagree with me. Like they might be like, yeah, I thought that was, well, of course that's so smart. Like, didn't you see this coming? Maybe I was like not paying attention as it was leaving little clues. Like I can see now that there were some clues. And it does make, like it did make a little sense, like what was being told to us, right? And I don't love it. I felt like I wished it kind of went somewhere else. Now, I liked the way it ended.
Okay.
I liked the way it ended. It was a good ending. I felt like the rights were righted. You know, the wrongs were righted. Like everything. I did like the way that the strings were all tied up. So overall, I gave it 3 stars.
Okay.
Definitely, if you're like dystopian, like easy read. This is not difficult to follow. It's not hard to understand. You will not have a problem with it. I just was like, oh, you're so close to being awesome.
Yes.
That was my take. But a fun read. Like, I'm not mad that I read it. Like, it was a good recommendation.
Excellent. I have a question. Maybe you said this before, but my brain is just thinking. I'm on a hamster wheel of this idea. Can you go visit Snow Globe?
No.
No, you can't go like on vacation there or just go see it. No.
No. If you have a family member that works there, there are times when they can invite you to visit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very interesting. Like there's a lot of things in the book that are so interesting. Like there's lots of directors and each director has like a show. Like you think about what we watch shows on TV all day, right?
Yeah.
And so they have cameras on them 24 hours a day. And the directors are constantly trying to create content for their show. And like, you're an actor, but you're not living your own life. You're literally playing a role. Mm-hmm. But it's hard for the people at home to even remember that because they feel like real people. You're watching them all the time. So you think they're real.
So all of Snow Globe is the studio.
Yeah.
They're creating content as their
lives. They are a real city.
Right. But it's a state.
For example, yes. For example, like you at home are watching this person and this person is cheating on their spouse, let's say. But like the spouse in the show doesn't know because they can't watch the show. They're not watching their own show.
So this is a little Truman Show.
Yes.
Reality TV.
Yes. But you also are like, everything is happening to you because of your director. So like they're feeding you situations and like you kind of have to do what your director says. And you really don't. I think the people at home, right, in the city surrounding are forgetting that there are directors creating these shows.
All of this.
So like one of the shows, there was a serial murderer. Okay. But nobody knows in the city
who it is,
that it's her. But everyone at home is like following her around and watching her kill people.
Literally killing people. Wow.
Right?
Wow.
So I don't want to spoil what happens to her, because that's its own little side story, which is super interesting.
I can't say that I hate this concept.
It is it's kind of sounding super interesting. It really, really, really is, actually.
Okay.
And maybe my imagination just like goes wild because I've read so many books, right?
Right.
So I'm like, oh,
you could do this.
I want them to do this and this. And I was like, oh.
Oh, but you just did this. Okay. Good to know. I'm putting it on my list because I want to read it.
Yeah. Like, because really it is.
And
like,
then see.
The idea. Because we talk a lot about, like, we watch so much reality TV and we at home, and this is for real, like, I think a lot of people, it's easy to forget that it's not real, that it is heavily edited. It is very much producer driven. They're manipulating people's feelings. They're telling them certain things to get certain emotions. Like, we forget that side of reality TV.
Of reality TV. Right, right, right. Absolutely. They're looking for ratings.
They have to create a show. How boring would it be to just watch people live their regular lives? Anyway, so I would recommend it.
Okay.
If you're into like this kind of stuff, like I would just give you like a warning sign, like might I don't feel like it's the level of like Hunger Games. It's like the Divergent series. Like these kinds, similar idea, right? Like where people in a society are, you know, you're just kind of going along with things, not really knowing what's happening underneath the surface. Why are they the way they are? Who's benefiting? What are people willing to do to get what they want?
Yeah.
All those kinds of things.
Right.
And it was really well done. It makes me, so this book actually originated in Korea. He's a Korean author, and it was just translated for English. So that's a recent release in English. So I almost wonder, like, maybe this storyline makes really good sense for the way they see, like, conspiracy things, right? Maybe that makes sense there.
Yeah. Interesting.
It is interesting.
Okay.
Anyway, well, read it. I'm glad
you finally got to get it and read it. Okay. The book I got from that quiz was The Black Queen by Jemada Emil. And I was able to get it right away. There was no wait on it. It came out in January of 2023. So it was already out, but it's newer. And I enjoyed it. Light read, easy read, nothing too deep going on here.
Okay.
I would put this into a young adult category. It is the story of these high schoolers, and it's Lovett High. It is just recently been either, I don't remember exactly, it's been a while, either the boundaries have been redrawn, so now there are more Black students in this white school, like they've come together somehow. They used to be maybe at separate schools, and somehow either something's changed where there's more Black students in this school. Okay.
Okay.
So we have Nova Albright is the first Black homecoming queen.
Oh.
So she's been chosen as homecoming queen. Now, there is a long-standing tradition in one particular family where grandma was homecoming queen, mom was homecoming queen, older sister was homecoming queen, and Tinsley was supposed to be homecoming queen. But Nova, Tinsley's white. This is white tradition in her family. Nova is Black, and now Nova has been chosen as homecoming queen, which is really cool. The first Black homecoming queen for the Black community. This is huge, of course. For this particular family, Tinsley's family, it's not so great.
Right.
Because we have to keep on the tradition. How can she be the only one to have not been deemed homecoming queen? Okay.
Don't love the tradition.
Right. No, absolutely not.
Okay.
What pressure to put on your kids that this is family tradition?
Well, and
awful. That's a lot of pressure.
Like, who are you that you're always better than everyone else?
Right. And we vote for homecoming queen, right?
Right.
So you have to uphold that people like you to get votes.
Fixing the contest?
What kind of money is going into this? Anyway, okay. So Nova is selected as homecoming queen, and there's a lot of different things going on. Not as well off as Tinsley's family. So all of that means a little bit more. Like, she's got to afford a dress. She's got to do all these things. So, and her family can't afford it. So what does she have to do to be able to withhold her standing as homecoming queen and try to fit in with what traditionally the homecoming queen has worn or done or hair or all these things to
overwhelmed for her.
Right. Well, the night of her coronation, Nova is murdered. She is found the next morning. And now they have to figure out what happened, who's responsible, who are all the different people who would want her dead. Tinsley's family being one of them. Tinsley herself, I mean, being one of them.
Yeah.
So, and there's Nova's dad is the first Black police chief in the town. And so he has to uphold police rules, like the blue line, but also, is this racially motivated? Am I a Black man standing up for what's right for the Black community? Or am I the police that has to say and look at everything from a non-biased place and do the investigation?
Wow.
Even though I think this or I could smudge this, like, so a lot of pressure is put on him.
Wow.
In different ways of how he handles the case. Should he be handling the case of the murder of his own daughter?
That's a good question.
Yeah, right. So, who did it?
I want to know.
You'll have to read to find out. I enjoyed it. Super easy read. Just fun. Fun YA. I think high schoolers, middle school would like it. Yeah. I gave it 3 stars.
Was it who you thought it was? The whodunit.
The whodunit. It took a lot of turns. I'll leave it there. I never see it coming. I am not good at that. And it did, like, I would start to think, oh, it's totally this person. And I am always wrong.
Okay.
So, no, I never see it coming.
I love that.
So, I enjoyed it. It was a good one. The Black Queen.
Awesome. Okay.
All right.
The next one I'm going to try to talk about.
Yes.
Amidst my...
Hopefully.
My voice that's disappearing as we talk.
Uh-huh.
Is The Fox Wife by Yangzi Chu. And I hope I said that right. Yangzi, I think.
I think it sounds good.
Okay.
We're notoriously bad at pronouncing names. Yangzi Chu. I think that's how I would pronounce it.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to tell you that I feel like that is the same cover of our last 2 book club picks.
It's very similar.
And a fox.
Well, it's The Fox Wife.
The Fox Wife. So we're talking about foxes again. And a very cold looking cover.
Yes. Okay. It was
cold. Tell us about it.
In the book. Okay. So this is a story. I think that this book is... okay, here we are. The author is Malaysian of Chinese descent. Okay?
Okay.
So this is an Asian story. I think, now I could be very wrong, because I know very, very little about Asian folklore.
Yeah, same.
Okay.
Same.
But what I gathered is that there is like folklore in Asia, the Asia area, maybe China, lots of years ago, many years ago, about the fox people. And the idea was there were just people who were a little foxy.
Mm-hmm.
And there were certain traits about them. They were a little wily, untrustworthy, maybe. They kind of got a bad rap, these people, and they would call them like, oh, he's sly as a fox. Like, you've heard these things.
Yeah.
And there are similar phrases that they use in that area. A little bit of trickery that might be involved with these people. And the root of this story says they're actually foxes that like can turn into people.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they interact with people and they live around people, but they can't like, I won't get into the, you know, intricacies of their living, but I will say in this story, you are following one fox lady.
Okay.
Okay. And you find her as she is very sad and she's out looking to avenge the death of her child. And at first you don't know what happened to her child or why her child is dead, but she talks about how she's no longer with her husband. You kind of at first think her husband might be dead or something happened to him too, but you know that the child has died and she is on a mission to avenge this child's death. Now you don't know that she, like you kind of think she's a fox. It's a very interesting way of how they're like explaining this story to you. They ease you in, I guess is what I'm saying. It doesn't just come out and like, oh, this is what the fox people are. Like you are learning about the fox people while you are following a fox woman. And it's super interesting. Now, as she is on this trek of redemption, she meets people. She's kind of She's forced to, you know, care for herself as a woman without a man around in a time when you couldn't be a woman without a man around.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just kind of like making her way. Then she kind of attaches herself to an older woman and is able to use her as a way to get around. There's also lots of characters in this story. And there's like a side story where you'll jump to a man's point of view. And he is an older gentleman who's kind of turned into a detective. And he is trying to solve, he just will help people solve cases, but he specifically is following this one case where he keeps running into information where mm-hmm. people talk about, oh, he describing like Fox people. And he's relating these things that people are saying, oh, that sounds an awful lot like Fox people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so it's super, it's different. It's different than anything I've read before. It's a different type of story. It feels like a folk story, but at the same time, it was told to me as if I should already know these things about these fox-like people.
Right.
Right. So it was like I was thrown into this world that has existed forever. That you didn't have
a background of.
But I didn't even know was there.
Right.
But I never felt lost. Like I was, okay. I easily followed it around. It was very interesting. If you like that type of story where you're learning maybe a little bit about the heritage of another culture, mm-hmm. this would give you great insight. Like they talk a lot about the customs of the Chinese people. And, you know, they talk a little bit about like the binding of the feet.
Okay.
And how one character didn't have that done and why it wasn't done to solidify a certain future for her, why it didn't allow her to have this future. You know, just like it was really a fun way to learn like some of the customs and culture of Chinese people without it feeling very heavy.
Okay.
It's not heavy. It's sad in that her child died, but it's also kind of like funny. Like she does all these funny things mm-hmm. in order, you know, that they don't go as planned, right? Like things, her plans never go right and things kind of go awry. And
mm-hmm.
anyway,
interesting.
It was really well told and it went all over the place. So if anything, I would say I was like, oh my gosh, we're over here and then we're over here and we're over here and we're over here. Like lots of things are happening. And I was kind of like, why? I'm not sure why we're all around. And it does come together at the end, but it did take a while
to get there.
So I did give it 3 stars.
Okay.
It was interesting and different. It was, if you're looking for something that you want to try something new, mm-hmm. this is a good place to go.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's awesome. Called The Fox Wife.
Awesome.
Like, it's one that's like, I really need to talk to someone. Did you catch the same thing as me? Like, let's talk about
this.
This would be a good book to talk about.
Okay. I'll have to get it on my list. It might have to wait till cold season again.
Yeah, that's okay. I understand.
But it does sound good.
Yes,
I just think it's how random that Fox.
I know. You should, like, see my Goodreads, like my book. They really are Frozen River, Fox Wife, Heartless Hunter. Like that also had a fox in it. Like the Snow Child, the all the things. Fox. It's the funniest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Awesome. Okay. The next one for me is How to Save Babylon by Sophia Sinclair. This is a memoir. It is also a Read with Jenna book club pick.
Oh.
It came out in October of 2023. So this is a newer one. And it was so good.
Oh.
Now, the first chapter, I told you that I did like 3 books in a row where I started and then stopped reading and just returned to the library. So I started this one. And one chapter in, I was like, nope. Brain can't wrap around it. But because I had turned in 3 prior books, I was like, nope, you gotta stick this one out. It comes highly recommended. It sounds really good. It's a memoir. I love memoirs. And it also says in its description that it echoes Educated and Born a Crime. I love the book Educated.
Yeah.
Loved the book Born a Crime.
Yeah.
This has got to be something I'm going to like. Give it another chance. By the end of chapter 2, I was in.
Ooh.
So there is, Sophia Sinclair is a poet. She is a beautiful writer, but it is very lyrical. So I think that first chapter in, I was like, just get to the point. And also, I haven't been in a good place with reading. So I'm going to give myself a little bit of, I wasn't in the right place, but also I needed to get in the rhythm of this poetically written book.
Right.
Which happened very quickly. She is a fantastic writer. Her descriptions and the rhythm of how she writes, absolutely beautiful. Her story, so interesting. Her life is so interesting. So she grew up in Jamaica, and she grew up, she has multiple siblings, but she is, her family was very rigid Rastafarian.
Ooh, now, I've never heard of that.
Right? I've heard Rastafari or Rasta, you know, like I've heard the term, but I didn't know this is a religion in Jamaica. Like, this is a belief, a way of life. And her dad, it's a very patriarchal belief. The dad runs the household, and there are definitely different privileges men get than women. But it is a very, very strict way to live. So Sophia herself was only wore dresses, not allowed to wear pants, long sleeve. You cover your body as much as possible. A head wrap, you cover your hair, no makeup, no friends, because they might lead you astray. You are so extremely protected from anything going wrong in your life that there's really not a lot, you know?
Wow.
So Sophia's mom has taught her and her siblings, and she is very, very, very smart. She goes to school. She gets great marks once she finally does go to school. And she actually gets accepted into this very prestigious private school there. And she doesn't fit in because she is Rastafarian. And if you're not Rastafarian, they refer to them as, her dad refers to it as, he is protecting them from Babylon. Babylon meaning the Western influence or Western culture. So most of the people on this island are following more of those Western beliefs.
Yeah.
But Rastafarians are very, very strict and don't allow, especially their women, very much say privilege, freedom. So it talks about her childhood growing up in that situation. And dad was a musician. He had jobs here and there. He worked in like some clubs at night to bring in money, but there wasn't a lot of money. There wasn't a lot of food. Mom did everything she could to give them the education that she wanted them to have, but with not a lot. But mom always came through. But dad was ultimately in charge. So it's her experience growing up that way and then finding her way. Is this her belief or it's all she's been exposed to? Can she escape? What does that look like? And can you, in the end, bring a balance to the appreciation of the culture you were brought up in and forgiveness for anything in there? Like, there's so many things. Like, you just really have to become okay eventually with, are you going to have a relationship with your father if you get out? If you stay in, what are you holding back from yourself? So the debate back and forth there, it was so good. I gave it 5 stars.
Wow.
So beautifully written. Such an amazing story, and I loved it. 5 stars.
Wow.
Called How to Say Babylon by Sophia Sinclair.
I like reading her bio. It's impressive.
Yeah.
She's beautiful.
She, so, so smart. Yes, she is beautiful. Her writing is beautiful.
It's amazing.
It's amazing that she can put her story, that is fairly rough story,
sure,
into such beautiful words.
Wow.
And have it come across so well.
Yeah.
Like, just really well written.
That's awesome. Very cool. All right. The last book I'm going to talk about is Where Butterflies Wander by Suzanne Redfern.
Okay.
I'm a big Suzanne Redfern fan.
I don't think I've read anything. It doesn't sound familiar.
I have talked about a few of her books. I'm looking now going like, wow, she's written a lot more I haven't read. But Hadley and Grace, In an Instant. I don't know if you recognize these covers. This one I think I read first was In an Instant, and I loved it.
I've read In an Instant. I loved that book. Okay. I do know her from that book.
I did love that one so very much. And then Hadley and Grace is hers. Moment in Time is another one I read. Anyway. Okay.
I haven't read any of the others, but I did really like In an Instant.
I think that she might have like a contract with Amazon Publishing because I've noticed that, like, I never get her books at my library. So they're always, like, I always have to get them from Amazon, like, either an ebook, like, so I'll sometimes read an ebook, or I can listen to them on, like, you can get them really heavily discounted on Audible.
Mm-hmm.
So they're cheaper than like a regular audiobook, which is nice.
Yeah.
But I do have to get them there. But, so I know that's harder. That's a harder sell.
Okay.
Than just like at the library. But I've always been so pleased with her books that for me, it's worth a few bucks. I think they end up being like $3.
It's awesome when you can find it. Make it worth it. You don't want to waste money on a book that you were like, I hated that. Right. And I just spent money on it.
Absolutely.
So I totally get that.
So anyway, I've been lucky with her. I really do enjoy her. This story, it follows a family of a mom and a dad. And there's four kids, three daughters and a son. It goes girl, boy, and then daughter twins at the end.
Okay.
We meet the family not long after one of the twins has an accident and passes away.
Okay.
So they are recovering from this devastation, just very devastating. And they're all kind of handling it in a different way. It has not been easy. The mom has this piece of property that her grandpa left all of these cousins, but she bought out the cousins and now it's all hers, that they've decided they're going to go spend, they haven't been in years and years and years, but they're going to go spend some time there and get it ready to sell. Let's sell it. And we need a restart. We need a fresh start somewhere else for our family to be able to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to this property and it needs a lot of work. It's quite old and rustic. And there's an old cabin at the back of the property that's small and just this little old cabin that a woman lives in. And she has lived there her whole life since she was a child and with her mother. And then she went away and had some things happen in her life where grandpa brought her back and said, this is where you can live till you die. You always have a home here. And so that's a problem for this family that wants to sell the property, right? She can't be there. And she's a hard-skinned woman in the sense that she says it like she sees it. She has to, you know, she lives in the wilderness and she lives by herself. So she's got to have a little bit of a rough exterior to protect herself. And so it sometimes doesn't always come across well. And there just seems to be a lot of bad interactions with some of the family members and then really positive ones with others where she's actually quite kind and helpful. She is a midwife in the area. She helps deliver a lot of the babies of the neighbors. Like the neighbors adore her and love her. And she's like, she's just like a main person in their town. What would they do without her?
Right.
And it becomes quite a battle between this family and what's best, right? You know, what they're trying to do to heal, like their intentions are quite good for trying to help their family. But is it the right thing to kick someone out of their home? And what's, if that is the decision you decide, what's the right way to go about doing that? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of like knee-jerk reactions that happen. A lot of harsh words. And it's interesting. It's like, where do we place our grief? Right? It kind of comes down to a lot of this book talks about how everyone deals with it differently. We process it differently. We have different timelines. You know, we blame ourselves for the way things happen. Who's responsible for these kinds of heartaches that occur in our lives? And do we place blame, and is that helpful?
Right.
You know, and when we're so angry, and maybe we take that anger out on the wrong person. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of that. It was really interesting, and how town like is kind of watching this all happen, and what they do in reaction.
Yeah.
Of these situations. So it was really kind of gut-wrenching, while also like I sat and thought, what would I do?
Where would you have been?
Yeah. What would I have done? Like, I would hope I would take a beat and, you know, take a deep breath and consider all my options instead of just my knee-jerk reaction, mm-hmm. you know? But it was really good. It kept you thinking, well, also, like, she does a really good job of, like, painting real people, mm-hmm. right? Not everyone is all good. Not everyone is all bad. We are all complicated.
A little bit of everything. Yeah.
And we all say things in the heat of the moment. Or mm-hmm. we all, you know, don't make, you know, we make assumptions. Mm-hmm. We just do. It's super interesting, and I really enjoyed it. It was another win for me. I gave it 4 stars.
Fantastic.
It's called Where Butterflies Wander.
Where Butterflies. Okay. Awesome. Okay. My last one for the day is Everyone in My Family Has Killed Someone by Benjamin Stevenson. Have you seen this on lists? It's been...
No, maybe. No? It looks actually quite familiar, but yeah. I don't think maybe I read the title. Just okay.
Just saw the...
Typewriter.
There's a big typewriter. There's some bullets and some smudged blood fingerprints on the typewriter and on the paper. It's fun. It was a fun book. So the premise is literally... Everyone in his family has killed someone. So our main character is Ernest, and he's our narrator. He's the one telling this story. His job, he goes by Ern or Ernie, but his job in real life, he writes books on how to write a book.
What?
Like how to configure the plot and bring characters in and description of character. And if you say this, but you have this much time left in the book, then... You probably shouldn't say it here. You should say it there. You know, just how to structure a book, how to write a book, how to write a bestseller type thing is what he's writing.
Okay.
Has he ever written a book that's not a how-to? Probably not. But it's very interesting coming from his perspective of how to write a book. So he's kind of telling you along the way little hints on... Now, in a story like this, you would do this and this. So you're getting this little commentary throughout the book, which is really fun. He also is giving you little hints like, so-and-so has killed someone, but you'll find out more about that in chapter 7. Or literally everyone in my family has killed someone. Or he'll say things that might sound like there was an affair or making out or whatever. But it just sounds like that. You'll find out more later. He gives all this little inside for about the first 3/4 of the book.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is super fun. It's funny. It's witty. I really, really enjoyed it. That is fun. His whole family has come together for this like family reunion at a high-end ski resort. And once they get there, it's what happens once they're there. Do they all really want to be together?
Oh.
Do what's going on and who knows what about what.
Wow.
And a whodunit. All those things at the ski resort. So many different things going on. I loved the premise. I loved the first 3/4 of the book. I want someone else to read this to see if they have the same perspective as me or if I just... like got busy and was like, I'm done. I felt like the last part of this book to wrap everything up, it was just like pure monologuing. Just people talking to each other, saying what it was.
Oh.
And you really lost that whole setup at the beginning.
Right.
Of this witty, throwing information in here from the narrator, and then...
Right.
And then I just felt like it finished up really fast, but also very slow because it was just pure monologue.
Hmm.
Was that really how it was? I don't know. Like, right. I want someone else to read it and tell me if they felt the same way, or if... if I just went somewhere else, who knows?
Yeah.
I gave it 3 stars.
That's awesome.
It was good.
I looked at the author, like, mm-hmm. as you were chatting, and this character, Ernest, sounds really fun.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a second one that just came out in January.
Wait, this one just came out in January, but there's another one?
January. Well, I think everyone in my family has killed someone, the first one.
Yeah.
It came out of January of last year.
Interesting.
So the one you have must be the new cover, and this one is the old cover.
Oh, so they released
it.
Released it.
Or maybe that's the paperback or something. Or
the paperback got a different cover. Okay, but there's a number 2.
Yes, and it's called Everyone on This Train is a Suspect.
Okay.
And it came out in January of this year, and I'm like sitting here going... How fun is that?
Yeah. Okay. I would,
it gets good
I
reviews.
Would read number 2. I'm okay. not, I gave it 3 stars,
so,
but that doesn't mean I hated it.
Well, and people like the second one more than the first.
One. Okay.
Interestingly.
Okay. I will read the second one and put it on
and
my
report
list.
Report back.
Interesting information. Thank you for looking into that.
I just love that kind of stuff. When
yeah.
you find like
yeah.
little things. Anyway, super fun.
Awesome. Okay.
Thanks for sticking with us today through all of my like weird voice today, losing it as we go.
I hope for you it comes back
sooner than later.
So, because it's just annoying.
Send prayers my way. I'm ready.
Okay.
I've suffered and now I'm done. Just kidding. I'm
right.
Fine.
Right.
But thank you for listening. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook.
You can email us at thisisyourbookclubpodcast@gmail.com.
Please rate and subscribe and share with your friends.
Thank you to Amphibious Sue for our music.
Now, go read a book. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
And this is your book club.